Listen to your Christian president speak tonight at the Democratic Convention. Take your time? Okay. I'm sure folks would be hurrying up for that Muslim chat. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where they had us. Well, the Republicans did the same thing, only in a different issue. They had some, the Republicans thing, did anybody see that? When the Republicans had some rule change, and they said, all in favor signify aye, and there's a loud noise. Then they said, opposed, no. And the no was louder than the aye, and they said, and it's carried, the ayes have it. Well, for the Democrat one, Obama wanted to put under God back in their pledge, because it's election time. And so then they were going to make that rule change. And so all in favor was signified by saying aye, and opposed, it was louder than the yeas. And they said, and it's carried. And they start booing them. Oh, yeah. Oh, was that in that too? Right. Yeah, that's what theirs was. Okay, fun stuff. In America, land of the sleaze and home of the depraved. Let's see, Saturday, don't forget, from 9 to 2, we're going to have Morris Hartman teaching the health class, and you've already called them for their special times? Okay, Friday have some, and then Saturday, and then Sunday. I think we have three, possibly two openings, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. Ron? 9 o'clock. On Saturday? Tomorrow? Noon? Jan, tomorrow's noon? 1 o'clock? 1 o'clock. Okay, and then, let's see. Brother Ingeseth is going to be at Bethany Chapel next Wednesday, 7 o'clock, and then Saturday, 6 o'clock. He's the one that did the pottery stuff here a while back. So Bethany Chapel is where this church used to be over there. So if you want to go see him, that'd be the time I'd encourage you to go to Bethany Chapel, but no other time. Except maybe funeral. Okay, we are in 1 Samuel 8. I think I sent out 17 Bibles today. And I got back and checked the website and there was one more. So it's just, on the average, probably 7 to 10 a week been going out. So it's a blessing. So I do on occasion, and I just got one that they wanted to send it back. The notes they didn't think were doctrinally sound, so I write them back and say, did you pray about them? Did you look up their references? Did you ask for further comment? And, of course, the answer is no. Okay, 1 Samuel 8. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this passage, which really is not going to change much of anything for our lives, but we might understand why things the way they are, which is a blessing that we can understand what's going on. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to understand your words, be faithful to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 1 Samuel 8. So this chapter, since I seldom ever even mention anything about the government, I'm sorry, that's what this chapter is about. Okay, and it's the digression, or some would say progress, but the opposite of pro is con, so the opposite of progress is congress. Okay, and so you know, think that through. And so this is going down as we read what he is warning the Jews about their king. You and I wish we would have this. They're saying it's bad. Man, from our perspective, it's good. He's only going to take 10%? That's it? Okay, and so this is Samuel protesting. 1 Samuel chapter 8, Samuel is the judge, the last judge or good judge of Israel, as far as God using the judges, like in the book of Judges. Verse 1, it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his son judges over Israel. Okay, he made his sons judges over Israel. It doesn't say God made his sons judges over Israel. I don't know if this is right or wrong as far as Samuel's action. From the next two verses, we can see that they were not good. Now, this is often a thing, a lot of times, that preachers, they want and expect their sons to follow their footsteps, and often, like one preacher resigned his church, but he said, the only reason I'm resigning is you're going to put my son as pastor. And then we will do it together for a while, and then he will take over. And so that's how, you know, that was the freedom of vote in the church. And so that's the tendency. But yet, if a child's called to preach, you know, a young man's called to preach, he preaches, has children, their walk in life is determined by God, not by the parents. Okay, so he's making his son judges. If they're qualified, fine and hunky-dory, but we will read that they're not. Verse 2, now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways. That's always a heartache for a parent. Second, or third, John, where in verse 4, the pearls used for their ministry, that it says that I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And for a believer in the Lord Jesus, that is absolutely true. Okay, but his sons walk not in his ways. Why does that happen? There's a lot of pressure put on preachers' kids. A lot of pressure. Now, Samuel was a judge. So as a judge, he was on the road a lot. He was a circuit judge. He wasn't home much. Could have been that. I don't know. It's really no way of telling. When a child gets of age, they have a free will and they have a choice to make. Okay, whether the parents are good or bad, it matters not. The children of Israel rebelled against God, their father, in Isaiah 1, and nobody's going to tell me he mistreated them. Okay, that's right there laid out in Isaiah 1. So it's a great heartache on parents, and so what we can do is about the only thing we can do is pray. Pray, cry, and pray some more, and cry some more. And that's about all you can do. And love them when they come around. And if the Lord directs you to give a gentle rebuke, give that in love. Okay, but that's their life. Okay, hoping that they're going to follow the Lord. His sons walk not in his ways. Very sad comment. Okay, and then he said, but turn aside after lucre, following the money line. Going to follow the money line. Jesus said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesseth. Turn after lucre, follow the money. There's nothing wrong with making money. But when you make that your God, 1 Timothy chapter 6 is a good comment about that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, For the love of, verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. See, can that almighty dollar in our culture, okay, a person can pierce themselves through with many sorrows. So they turned aside after lucre. The idea there is they turned aside away from God after the money. They put God on hold to seek money or mammon, as the Bible would say. His sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes. Okay, took bribes as in, you know, you pay the attorney so much money and then he passes it off to the judge or the court costs or whatnot in perverted judgments. So taking a bribe perverts judgment. I often tease fellas when I'm reffing in a basketball league, you know, I often tease them and I say, I take bribes from both sides. That way you can get paid and then you can't be partial because you're getting it from both sides. Getting double your money. Okay, but bribes, obviously, sometimes a bribe in the Bible is referred to as a gift, but you can see the context what he's referring to. So when you got crooked judges here, like in this case, people are going to react. Okay, people will react to these things. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all other nations. Okay, now here's the problem, is when somebody like in life isn't doing right, if it's affecting a lot of people, they're going to react. So in this fashion, we can see that they're reacting improperly. Okay, the same happens in business. When an owner of a company or a corporation, whether you want to call it, but a corporation is owned by somebody, a person or several people, when they don't treat their help, their workers, right, when they don't pay them the just compensation for their work, and a bunch of the workers feel misled, this is the motive of labor unions. You could understand why labor unions are started because of the injustices of corporations or companies or owners. And then, okay, that may fix a problem, but what it's going to do is the labor union's going to become a problem. Because whenever you have men involved, it's always going to be tainted by sin. I'm not saying that if somebody's in a labor union, they're wrong. I'm saying that if the company did right, why would somebody want a labor union? They wouldn't. And in the long run, it would be done much more economically because you're not footing the bill for all the upper echelon dudes at the top of the labor union. And usually, the president of the labor union is the next guy that comes out of prison. Often is the case. And then many labor unions really don't argue on the behalf of the ones who pay their dues. So, you know, there's a balance in life. Okay, the thing is pay people their just dues and then they wouldn't want to go and gripe and complain about it, and then get a bunch of things over your head. So that's the initial purpose of a labor union. And, you know, it's done because companies do not do right. And so the same thing happens in churches often. Okay, the same thing happens in churches, same thing happens in schools, the same things happen in companies like that. And in this case, the two judges are causing a lot of people to complain, and so now they're going to overreact and get a king. And that's not going to help the matter. So here's what they say. Thy sons walk not in thy ways. Okay, so what should we do? get rid of the sons. Boot them out. Okay, and then pray to God that you might have just leaders. But here's what they said. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Okay, we want to be like other nations. The individual will say, well, I want to be like so-and-so. Well, I want to be like the world. Okay? And Romans 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. So they say, we want to be like other nations. Okay? Go to those nations and investigate first. Okay? Go to those nations to see how good it is. See if people are complaining when they got a king. See what kind of a king he is. Is he a good king or a bad king? Okay, so that's what they should do, but these people know they're just reacting, give us a king. Now this interesting thing about them asking for a king. That was prophesied many years in the future, or in the past. In Deuteronomy chapter 17. Here you have in 1400, about 1450 B.C., when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments plus the law, the Pentateuch, he wrote in there a small section, chapter 17, verse 14 to 20, that when you get a king, now I wonder if they read that saying, oh, we're never going to get a king. Why would we want to do that? No way, I'm not going to get a king. Well, here he says, when you want to get a king, make sure that he doesn't multiply gold and silver. He doesn't multiply wives. He doesn't multiply his horses or his military. And he reads, he first handwrites a copy of Deuteronomy out and reads in that book every single day of his life. He reads through it. That's what he's supposed to do. There's no record of Saul doing it, no record of David doing it, no record of any king do it. That doesn't mean they didn't do it, but there's no record of it in the Bible. So they said, now make us a king to judge over us like all the nations. Now this is what's going to be called a monarchy. Okay, you have different types of names for different governments. But what is government? People often say the government. What is it? It's a non-entity. It means nothing. Government. In one culture, it's the king. In another culture, it's a bunch of people. What is government? People often say the government. Oh, the government is going to take care of racial discrimination and sexual discrimination. And what was it lately that one of the government workers had to get out because she made it impossible for guys? What is government? People talk about that. Government is just people. That's all it is. It's people telling other people what to do in their life. Self-righteous do-gooders is what they are. And what is law? Well, law is nothing but an opinion backed by a gun. That's what a law is. In Australia, it's the law that you have to drive on one side of the road. In America, it's the law that you drive on the other side of the road. In Vietnam, you can drive on either side of the road you want. Okay, but you see, it's just an opinion backed by a gun. Okay, there are valid laws. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Okay, why are those valid laws? It's because when I commit those two laws, break those laws, I'm harming somebody else. Now, I was going down the interstate just today or yesterday, I think it was, or this morning, I forget which. I'm in the slow lane, the guy's in the fast lane, and we're traveling slower than they're supposed to be. You want to have a sign written backwards in the mirror, get over to the right, you bum. But I saw this one car is trying to get over, so they just went behind this right this lane and then went on the shoulder and came back around. Now, if a police officer said, hey, he broke the law, he didn't hurt anybody. Didn't hurt anybody at all. I was jealous. I want to do the same thing. But by the time the second guy do it, you know when a copper shows up. And I want that in a big a hurry anyway. Okay, but people say he violated the law. No, he didn't. He didn't hurt anybody. Going faster than speed limits, violating the law. No, he's not. You see, that unless you're harming somebody, that's what a valid law is. Now, I'm not saying that you go around speed, even though I do it, but and all that stuff. But what is the law? What is government? These things people don't think about. What is it? You can't fight town hall. Why not? It's just one person often. You know, I fought the Jasper County Advisory Board. Sounds important. I didn't know if it was a 2x4, 2x12, 2x6. Turned out to be one person. And that's often what it is. It's one person. Often when you have church troubles, even if you get a bunch of people in this church trouble, if you take that to the root source, you're going to narrow it down most likely to one person. Often a husband and wife, no more than three. Genesis and Numbers chapter 13 and 14, remember the one? Numbers 16. Remember the crowd that came against Moses? Who were the instigators? Korah, Dothan, and Abiram. Three. You're dealing with hundreds of people, and it narrowed down to three people. And that's how it goes. And you see, what is this thing we call government? For some reason, when you say it's the law, everybody seems to go into a hypnotic state. Oh, it is? Who? It is? Who? You can't pass out tracts at the county fair. It's the law. No, it's not. And so what if it is? Pass them out anyway. You can't pass out tracts in the airport. Oh, you can? It's the law. No, it's not. Pass out tracts. If you don't block traffic, you can pass out tracts anywhere you want. As long as you don't block traffic, as long as you don't force it on people, you just offer a gospel tract to them anywhere you want. It's interesting. A friend of mine, they went to Washington, D.C. to do some, they're protesting something, but they wanted to do some street preaching. So they asked where they can go street preaching, and I thought it was kind of funny. The ones tell them, if you're going to do that, you ought to go get a permit. They said, okay, we'll check it out. Well, where they were going to give them a permit where they could street preach is like in a back alley where nobody walks. So these guys just said, forget it. We're just going to find a street and stand on there and street preach. And so that's what they did. And it's right out in front of a federal building. And one of the fellows took one step up on the steps on the federal building. Just one step is holding a Bible verse sign like this. As soon as he did that, a black guy walked out of the building and told him to get off the step. He said, why? He said, you're protesting. He said, no, I'm not. I'm holding a Bible verse sign. I'm street preaching. He said, get off the step. You're protesting. And then he looked at this black guy. He said, hey, pal, don't tell me to sit in the back of the bus. Guy turned around, went back in the building. He didn't get off the step. That's what he was doing. You see, and that was famous in our country. You see, and we have a right to do that. And if a person is a sovereign, which is what we are, we need to act like it. Not be jerks. Just do what the Lord leads you to do. And if somebody protests, ask them why they're doing that. Be kind, nice to them, polite, offer them a gospel tract, and go on from there. Okay, some governments, basically there's two types of governments. One is the government tells the people what to do, and the other is the people tell the government what to do. That's your two basic. Okay, the one where the government tells the people, that is called a democracy, a republic. Okay, the Soviet Union is called a republic. A communism, fascism, Nazism, oligarchy. That's what we have is an oligarchy. An oligarchy is run by the few. Okay, and that's basically what we have in our country. Okay, and so those are different types. The type that the Lord Jesus is going to set up is He's going to be the monarch, but He's going to let you work, a people work, and keep the fruit of their labor without taking one dime from them. That's the Lord Jesus. There's a country similar to that in this country, or in this world, called Liechtenstein. It's one of the smallest countries in the world where they have a king and he don't take one dime from the people. And the income level of that country is one of the highest in the world. People don't talk about Liechtenstein. I got the street preached there, and right up there at the top of the mountain is where the king lived. Right up there. And he didn't take a dime from his country. Okay, so the people are asking for a king. Verse 5. Verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Okay, so that's the best thing to do. Go to the Lord, pray to Him about it. The Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people. There's that famous word, the people. Abe Lincoln, we the people. For the people, by the people, of the people. Mr. Of the People is the first guy to put an income tax on the people without their vote. Mr. The People wrote an Emancipation Proclamation that wasn't worth the paper they wrote it on. Mr. The People arrested a 9-year-old boy because he sold a newspaper in the northern part that was against him. He had 3 wars almost going on where he had a draft war in New York, and even Indiana and Ohio was talking about seceding from the Union. Mr. The People. Okay, and so the people, that's a catch word, that's a political term. The voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And you need to keep that in mind when you do witness for the Lord. When you witness for the Lord and people reject your testimony or your words, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. That's who they're rejecting. It's not you. It's your God that they're mad at. It's the Lord Jesus who they're rejecting. So you can see here that God is allowing them to have their way. It's a very sad thing when a person gets his way. A backsliding heart shall be filled with his own ways. Then the Lord added to this, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto you their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. So there's protesting. Protest. Stretch that word out, Protestant. Protestant. Some Baptists don't like to be called Protestants. They think it's a bad thing, but I think it's a good thing. We ought to be protesting. We ought to protest heresy. We ought to protest against injustices. We ought to protest against the Catholic Church. We ought to protest against the sin of the people. You stand up in a street corner, stand up someplace, and protest against these things. Jeremiah did this, Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 9. That's what he did. He did this publicly. So we protest. Now what he's going to do, the Lord is going to lay it on the carpet. He's going to tell them beforehand, this is what's going to happen. In their mind, they're probably saying, oh no, it's not going to be that way. No way, it's not going to be that. What? He don't know what he's talking about. But then here it is. Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And some of the people probably said, oh, I hope he takes my son. And if he gets that federal money, he will have a good job for the rest of his life. And that's what they're hoping. And not saying if that's where God calls man, puts a man, that's where God puts him. He put Matthew there and he put Zacchaeus there. Okay, but even at that, he had Obadiah in that realm. Okay, so you'll have a few of those in the Bible. But he will take your sons. How will he do this? If it's by draft, he will take them by force. If it's a voluntary military service, he will take them by money. Promise them a job. You know, basically the military advertisement pitch, people say they're fighting for their country. I don't buy into that. Most young people that go into military today, why do they go in there? For the love of their country? No, it's so they can do their time and get a good college education paid for. You know, get the benefits, travel around the world. You know, that's the pitch they're putting on them. Fighting for Obama. That's the pitch that's put on them. You know, of course, if you say these things, you're unpatriotic. No, we're not unpatriotic. Okay, we're just trying to think things through. They're going to take your sons. They're going to take them. The king will take your sons. By hook or crook. Take it by deception or take it by force. Okay, verse 12. He will appoint him captains over thousands, captain over fifties, and will set them to ear his corn and reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be your cooks and to be bakers. You see, he didn't understand that you weren't supposed to, you know, put this different genders in such a category like that. I mean, come on. Okay, then it says he will take your fields, your vineyards, and your oliveyards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. Okay, he will take them. How will he take them? If you would, look in Leviticus chapter 5, I think it is, or 6, I'll get it. Okay, he will take these things. Okay, what's the way of saying taking? What's the modern word of saying taking? Taxes. What is taxation? It's taking. It's stealing. It's taking something that doesn't rightfully belong to somebody else. By force or deception. You need to pay your fair share. Not the one over the IRS. He didn't pay his. You see? And so Luke chapter 6, or Leviticus chapter 6, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which he was delivered to him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it, sweareth falsely in any of these that a man doeth sinning therein. Then it shall be because he hath sinned and is guilty that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the loss which he found. Okay, so you have the two choices there in verse 4. Violently taken away or deceitfully taken away. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. I am not saying to not pay taxes. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we need to understand what's going on. When we can understand what's going on, then we can almost kind of rest in the fact that we're being a victim rather than a perpetrator. Okay, and we can understand. Now, he is going to say, eventually, he's going to say, in verse 15, he will take the tenth. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? A tenth. Now, some folks say, well, I don't pay any income tax. How about state? How about property? Well, I don't own a house. You're still paying a property tax because the owner is passing that down to you. Every tax is always passed down to the lowest on the totem pole. It's passed down indirectly. Corporation tax, that is taxing everybody. Everything is passed on. You think the corporation is just going to foot that bill? No, they're going to add that to the price of the cars or the price of the product. Everything is passed down. What is the way that a county tries to draw a company into their county? What is the way? Tax abatements, right? Oh, why? Because that's going to help the economy. Duh, so why wouldn't it help it all the way around if we did that? Okay, so that's what they do locally. If an entire nation would do that, it would be phenomenal. Okay, so this is how it's done. Okay, and it's unlimited where it's gone. We have so many hidden taxes. Government regulations a tax. When you get stopped by a police officer and he gives you a fine, what is that? That's a tax. It's an additional tax. Okay, and why? Because you violated the corporation regulation. Why? And there's all sorts of reasons. I'm not going to get into the mindset of these people, what they're actually doing. Okay, so here's what they're saying in verse 14. He's going to take your fields, your vineyards, your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. Okay, any government cannot give subsidies to anybody unless they stole it from somebody else. Two things no government can give you or I: riches and your rights. They can't do that unless they take it from somebody else. The JCs, I don't know if they are now, but used to be all men's group. Some women wanted to get in, so they give the women their rights. How'd they do that? By taking it from the men. You see? And so, it just can't be done. It says in Proverbs 17, verse 26, very interesting verse. It says, whoso... Kind of a tough one to really get it when you read it once. Also, to punish the just is not good. Okay, that's understand. To punish just people, that's not good. Nor, so this next statement is also not good. Nor to strike princes for equity. To strike princes. Strike, hitting them? No. Go on strike. Princes, government, for what? Equity, equality. That's not good. That's not good. Why? Because they can't do that. American women want equal rights. Go to China and see how equal they got it. They're all poor. Go to Russia and see how they got it. They're all poor. Hillary Clinton seems to have a love for China. I wish she would go there and live. Live in the lower section. You know, my sister can find a place for her. Nice spot for her. Not where the top is. That's where she wants to be. Put her down where the average Chinese lady is. Then we'll see how she likes it. Okay, so verse 15, it says, he will take the tenth of your seed, of your vineyards, and give to his officers and to his servants. His servants. He gives to his servants. This is what politicians do. Isn't it amazing? Presidential election, these guys are spending over $1 billion to get a $400,000 job. That just doesn't make sense. To get a $400,000, 4 years of that, $160,000, and you're spending $1 billion to get it? No, $1 million is $600,000. You're spending $1 billion again? That's not good economics. It's just crazy. Of course, are they paying for it? No, they're not. They're drubbing the people for it. Verse 16, he will take your men servants, your maid servants, and your goodliest young men, and your asses. That's for the Democrats. And put them to his work. I don't have elephants in here. A few years back, Jen and I went to Des Moines, Iowa. We were passing out brochures for Ron Paul campaign, and I put one in this guy's house, and a big guy with long hair comes walking, and he says, you can take that back. I'm going to vote for Hillary. Big, rough dude, you know, long hair. And so I said, okay, I lost the politics. I offered him a gospel tract, and he said, no, I don't want that. I said, Yeah, but don't you think Jesus was a Democrat because he rode a donkey? Okay, I'll take that. You know, it gave it a try. He took it. We'll see how that works. At least I got him to take a track. Okay, verse 17, it says, He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be His servants. That's eventually. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Now, is that not a sad comment? How many Christians are going to cry out because of who they voted for? And there's a God in heaven that says, tough. I told you beforehand. I told you. You made your bed, now sleep in it. And that's a sad comment right there. But you see, the Lord told him beforehand. He told them beforehand. He laid it right out in front of them. And what was their attitude? Verse 19, Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us. Why? That we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Oh, there it is right there. Fight our battles. That's what a lot of people don't want to do. Parents don't want to be responsible for the education of their children, so they dump it off in the government. I'm not saying a person is wrong by sticking their kids in public school, but they better get their nose in that school system to say something about what they don't like. And they better read the books that their kids are reading and gripe about some things that they don't like. And if it gets to the point where they can't handle it, then they need to pull them out. But that's our responsibility. It's my responsibility to raise my children. Fight my battles, that's my responsibility. Now, as we keep reading, there comes a time very shortly after this that the Philistines are on one side of a mountain and the Israelites on the other side of the mountain. And there comes a big, tall, dark, and ugly thing out of the mountains. 9 foot 9 inches tall, maybe over 10 feet tall. And he's yelling up there. And he said, send out a man to fight. Now, where's the king? I thought the king was going to go fight their battles. No, King Saul was in NORAD hiding. That's what our president does. He goes and hides. You know, it's easy to call the shots when you've never been in the military and you don't have a child in the military. And if you do have a child in the military, he's way in the back protected area. Easy to call the shots that way. But when the king has to be in the front lines, whoever votes for war ought to be right in that front line, and they should have a child in that front line. You see, and that's when David got in trouble because he didn't go out to battle. So he didn't fight the battles. So who fought the battle as a young little boy came along? David. Verse 21, And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto a city. And then he waited for God to point it out who it was. Sad, sad day. Sad day in Israel. Our country began as a Christian nation. And oh, would the founding fathers be sad to see what they see today. And the Christians of that day, would they be so sad to see what they see today? Patrick Henry said this, first governor of Virginia, said, It is when people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. And that's quite a quote from that man. Okay, that's chapter 8. We got through that. Don't need to go through that again. Chapter 9 next time to the king. We'll see a lot of